get the most benefit out of his fast. His fast is personally one of my favorites in the whole church game. Actually, because it's only 3 days and it's not like the usual 55 days or 40 days, it's not over excessive, it's nice. It's quick, it's over before you know it. But more so because it's a great time for self reflection. We fast for 3 days to commemorate the 3 days. Three days and nights that Jonah spent fasting and praying and really well. And it's a beautiful time in his head. Like, you know, we learn a lot about how powerful our repentance and how our prayers to God can be. And I think this length of fast is perfect in paying for the right being in each of us. You know, we sit there and contemplate on this prayer of Jonah and we bring it back to our own lives to try and make that message from his life story. The major lesson we learn from Jonah is how to repent and face misery with tears and remorse after we've gone to the Lord. But more than that, we learn how to rely on God for our darkest time. Now, as a fast is done to commemorate Jonah's time in the belly of the fish, it's very fitting to sit and read about the events of his time there in Jonah chapter 2. The whole chapter of Jonah in Jonah 2 is about the prayer of Jonah. About his time in the belly of the fish. We know how he found himself in this exceptional, strange situation. And when God asked him, go to my people, and asked him to repent. And you see the irony of this in about 5 minutes or so. But he went and he asked Jonah, go and ask my people and go to repent. But Jonah, rather than abiding by the word and the command of God, he turned around, went on a boat, and went in the completely opposite direction. And at this point, it's already seen the strength. You think, hold on, wait. Jonah, you've been trusted by God. You've been asked to be responsible for his people. You are the spokesperson of God, and you are turning away from him. Like, doesn't really make sense, you know? And that, I think, is the crux. That's where we want to maybe just put a pin on it and focus on the point. The crux of it is that no matter who you are, no matter what your status is, we all sometimes find a time in our lives where we fall off track and we forget the memory of God. We more than anything, we lose sight of Him. But it's not how we fall off track, because undoubtedly everyone of us here has already fallen off track, but we'll find a time in our lives where, you know, we just lose sight of God and lose sight of His word. But it's how we respond to it that lands in the eyes of God. And that's the most important thing. That's the beauty of this story. After Jonah betrayed God, he turned away, went on the boat, and all of a sudden there was a massive storm. And in this storm, the group of people on the boat, they all got together, they cast lots to sea. They tried to light the boat, you know, you get up there with the heaviest things to try to light the boat to calm the boat. But nothing was working. So what they did, they cast lots to see who would be found guilty. Thrown off the boat to lie on the boat. And Jonah had been previously told them that it was his fault that there was a storm, so he was the one who requested to jump off the boat. When they cast off, the lot spoke to Jonah, and after much reluctance and much hesitation, the boat eventually threw him off the boat, and all of a sudden the storm was calm. And then we know that God sent away a great fish, whatever you prefer, he sent a great fish. And Jonah's response to this slow demise is, for me, is one of pure wisdom and faith. It's something that I really hope we can all take from and try to remember these next 3 days. He says in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, he says this, and I really think it's one of the most beautiful verses in the whole Bible. He says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and he heard my voice. I think for us, it would be quite amazing to keep this verse, as I've been for the next 3 days. There are many beautiful little gems in this verse that we can take and we can try and apply in our own lives. You know, we see first of all, when he says, I cried to God and he heard my affliction. But he says something very interesting. He said, out of the depths of Sheol. And I thought to myself last night when I was reading, I was like, what is Sheol? And it's not the name of the whale. And Jonah didn't get extremely bored with the whale and started giving names. Sheol basically means grave or darkness. But actually, it translates to people. And this is something you can really relate to. In our lives, we all find a time where we fall into a pit, whether it be a broken home, broken family, financial troubles, relationship issues, loneliness. It can be any of anything of the above. And we all find a time where we fall into this darkness. But how do we respond? Look at how Jonah responded. He said, out of the belly of Sheol, I cried out and you answered me. You answered me. He was crying out, he was pleading with God, he was praying, he was repenting, he was sorry for his mistakes. How do we respond? So why does he say, you have heard my voice? It is pure and out of faith that God finally delivered him from the dark pit he had fallen into. He knew that God will find a way to place him back on track. He knew that God will find a way to restore him from his troubles. And though it seemed quite unusual for him to be able to fish, he still believed that God would provide a way out and restore him back to his original rhythm. And this is partly because he was aware that God is no stranger to the unusual. Let's take the example of Moses. When Moses was traveling with them, we finally escaped Egypt for the Israelites. They were following cloud of pillar, which is unusual in itself, and they ended up at a sea with dead end with 500,000 Egyptian men, soldiers, following them. And it's interesting, you know, what I always like to think, what would Moses have been thinking at this point? You know, the cloud of pillar protected them above. It would only protect them for so long. How would they escape? All Moses have been praying about. If I was in Moses' situation, I would have prayed about, you know, I would have begged to God to just smite all the Egyptians, or, you know, bring a large ark like novels and deliver us all. You know, take a few troops from one side of the shore to the other side, and, you know, and maybe we'll all get there safely. But God was a very unusual deliverance. It's very unusual. What does it do? God says, Moses, told him, I have something much, much, much more wild to prepare for you. And he opened, he parts the sea. And this is very, 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 it's a beautiful portrayal of the character of God, that he is so unusual in his deliverance, he's so strange, and yet he's so wonderful. So when we ask to be delivered from these things that we may fall into, never, don't expect anything less than the unusual hand of God to deliver. Prayer of Jonah, as well, we see the power of repentance and how pouring out our hearts before God reaps great blessings. I personally was fortunate enough to see this unusual name of God and see the power of repentance in my own life. Father Christinos has been kind enough to take the youth of our church to two mission trips in Kenya this year and last year and the year before that. And this year we went and we were serving for about a week up until this point. After a week of serving, you know, the service was fiery, but you know, we were all a little bit distracted. We weren't completely focusing on the task at hand, the task we were called to do. And then, as you know, the Bishop of Africa, Bishop of Kenya, is number one. So one morning, he noticed our distraction. So he calls us into the chapel and starts absolutely abusing us, chasing us, telling us we will not be saved. You know, you are poor servants. Usually when people come to Africa, they bring blessings in the form of rain, but there has been no rain since the time you've come. And it's just very, very, very demoralizing and uncomfortable time for all of us. Afterwards, you know, one of the things I love about when you hear a talk is the different reaction you see in people. Some people, you know, the sea comes on the good ground and they're very happy, they're very joyful, they take the water, they really try to play in their lives. Other people, they take care and they try, but they fail, so they give up. Other people, they're not listening, they're falling asleep. But in this particular situation, soon we heard that we had brought no blessing to the place where we're supposed to witness, and the place where blessing just rests, the blessing in the way. It's so easy to come across. Everyone had the exact same reaction. And that was sobbing uncontrollably, tears, repentance. Everyone was just very, very distraught. And at times, sobbing was exceptionally uncomfortable, but God used it. At other times, it was very beautiful to behold, and very, very beautiful to be part of. Everyone throughout the entirety of the day was repenting and very, very sorrowful for the lack of service that we've done. So for the remainder of the day, we sat in quiet time, we sat in prayer, we sat confessing, even though there was a massive line. We got like that waiting for Sandra and our fathers that were with us. Everyone was trying to realize their mistakes and learn from that moment of falling short. And then the next morning, something amazing happened. You know, it was also interesting that everyone, as soon as we heard that rain brought a blessing, everyone had the same goal. And it was just everyone was repenting and praying for the same thing to happen. And the next morning, that one thing that we were praying for actually happened. And it was amazing. We woke up to pouring rain. The whole place was just almost pretty much flooded. It was just, it's like we were beholding God answering our prayers. We knew God had answered our prayers. It was the most beautiful thing. And I think it's exactly like the example of God, Jonah. Even though he had fallen off track, lost his way, lost sight of God, he still looked upon him. He still looked upon him. God still looked upon his repentance with mercy and blessing and brought him back on track once more, just as he did with us in Canaan. And in Canaan, after this particular day, you know, the rest of the trip was just so fiery. The service, everyone was just focused, everyone knew what they had to do, everyone knew the task at hand. And it was just, we knew that one day corrected us, that one day restored us. So maybe it needs to be that this particular church can try and do the same. This, like I said before, this time is a great time for revival. Great time for revival in the church. You know, it's beautiful. Like you saw the example of us in here, there's more of the fellowship in our prayer, more of the unity in our prayer that we struck the heart of God. And I think this church can do the same. Maybe if we can't physically gather together each night of this fast, maybe we can set that time where we all pray together in unity and fellowship, and then seek the hand of God with your life. Maybe you see it individually, maybe you see it as a church, but you will see the hand of God with your life. And we pray that this particular act, this fellowship prayer will deliver us from whatever things we may be falling into, may restore us from anything that, from our falling away, falling off track. Never ever, as Lord in this time, never underestimate the power of prayer. You know, sometimes we think prayer is our way of speaking to God or just communicating with Him. But rather, it's more of an avenue that we offer Him to find us. You know, He found Jonah. He found Moses at the shore of the Red Sea. Let's offer Him a way to find us, wherever we may be, whatever peak we may have fallen into. Never underestimate the power of prayer. And I'll just finish off with the story that I read last night. It really, really emphasizes and really highlights the amazing power of prayer, amazing weight of prayer. There was once this slave, and again, I'm not 100% sure about the legitimacy of the story, but it's just a beautiful story to contemplate on and take the message from. There was once this lady who was very poor, her family was very poor, and she went to the grocery store. And she asked the grocer to charge her for the groceries, which means that she takes some groceries, and then he charges her a fee that she comes and pays when she can. But the grocer said, of course not, you know, I don't do that anymore. And she said, she visualized the needs of her family, and she couldn't help but beg. She went on the ground, she pleaded with him, please, my family is in great need, please just charge me some groceries. And after much reluctance, the grocer came up with a compromise, which wasn't so much of a compromise. But he said, do you have a grocery list? And she said, I can write one. And he said, okay, take this grocery list, put it on these scales, and whatever it weighs, I will give you that much weight in groceries. And obviously a piece of paper with a little bit of ink is not going to weigh more than a grape. But after much hesitation, she put out a piece of paper. She wrote something on it, a few words on it, and put it on the scales. And to the grocer's amazement, and to the other customers in the line's amazement, the scale went all the way down. But the grocer, after being very startled, he went and started grabbing groceries and started placing on the other side of the scale. But what was happening was that the scale still wouldn't go down. And he continued to add groceries and groceries, add it to the scale, so much so that she had 10 bags of groceries and it still would not go down. So finally, with much anger, he grabbed the list off the scale and he read what it said. And what the lady had written down was this: "Dear Lord, you know how much I need, and I am leaving this situation in your hands." So what did the grocer do? Okay, took all the groceries and gave it to him. Started at the wonder and the fervent prayer turned the heart of God and affected his scales. Later on, however, he discovered that the scales were actually broken, proving once and for all that only God really knows how much our prayer is worth, how much our prayer weighs, how much it is worth, how special it is in the sight of God. Prayer has to turn the heart of the Lord. We see that with Jonah, we see that with this lady, we see that with all the youth that were in Kenya. All the youth that were in Kenya were able to turn the heart of the Lord and open up the heavens, pouring out blessings on us, even though we were very, very unwilling. So I pray that this coming 3 days of Jonah's fast be a blessed source of the wrath of all of us. And may we discover the true and undying power of repentance as we pour out our heart before the Lord.